That's what he said. He said quickly. Now again, you know, I think that you ought to say what you can do, because I didn't even put it on nobody's head. How can I say that? I wish you were here, because see, I don't want to say anything.
Why don't we just
do that in advance? Will you? Let me just say this. Let's make it comfortable. You know, it's really comfortable. We ought to do what you feel like you can do. And I didn't put no number. I didn't say nothing. I didn't make the... No, I'm saying to him, Brother Jim, you do what you want to do. You know, it could be 10, 15, 20 people as far as I'm concerned. It's up to you, you know, for him to decide, for you all to decide. So let's no hassles. Let's put it that way. Okay, no hassles. Now,
coming on left. The thing that I called you the other day, and the thing that I wanted to talk about, I don't know how to put this in perspective. Is this. We're going through a lot of organizational changes. We've grown quite a bit. How should I put it? I think that in terms of being recognized by the establishment someplace down the line, we've broken the ice. And as a result of that, it's not exactly that we're anticipating troubles, but we've looked around and seen what's happened to our brothers and our sisters, and we weren't born yesterday, right? Okay. So the upshot is this. What we're doing is asking a few people, such as yourself, who've been around for a while, the kind of attacks that you've experienced, where they've come from, how you feel you've handled them in the past. In other words, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. To some extent, we've got a concern with handling funds that perhaps aren't exactly related to our church structure, if you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
We have these kinds of consideration, and what we're doing is looking to somebody who's had more experience in the field to see what experience you've had and what suggestions you might make.
Have you been hassled at all?
Sure. I was telling Jim about being under investigation for the last 2 years of the Internal Revenue Service. And they've tried to get at me every way, and then finally they said, we're going to try to get at his money, at his pocket, mm-hmm. with the money situation. Because they'll try every other way first.
What do they discredit your program.
Shall I talk about some of the other things, or shall I talk about the Internal Revenue Service?
Whatever you like.
Okay. First of all, they will try to discredit your programs, the people. First of all, the people that come to you what they did with me was said that I only had kooks coming here. I only had the downtrodden coming here, the outcast, you know, and that they were not important. That was one thing.
Now, who are the they you're referring to? Was there a specific... Oh, we got attacked pretty heavily once in the papers, you recall. But who are the they you're referring to?
Some people from the print media will be the first to do it.
Okay.
Always.
Media.
There will also be other groups that may feel competitive with you. You know. So mm-hmm. far, you've got a good image. I've talked to the Black Muslims in the room. Mm-hmm. They were talking about you.
Great thing.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that there are those of us, like the Muslims or like us, or some other groups who would defend anything related to what you do. Remember this. And I just have to be honest with you. The Baptist ministers would be these guys. Can I be honest?
Please. We ain't got time for circles.
The Black Baptist ministers would be some of the first ones. They don't like what you're doing. Because you got people, okay? And you're helping people. And something's happening with people. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Pulling them out of their congregation.
And people
that's what's
are
happening.
Leaving their ranks, okay?
Sure.
They don't like that, brother. They were some of the first ones to attend. They did the same thing with King, Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the first people to attack King were black Baptist ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can expect that. It'll happen. It's not. It's happening somewhat already, but it's gonna surface. You see, it's gonna surface. So you have to deal with that. But also, see, the thing that's gonna happen is there will be other groups in the community, religious bodies, who will do the same thing to you. And I'm talking about Grace Cathedral and First Congregational Church and First Presbyterian Church. And, you know, my pattern is this is the way they did me. The white, predominantly white churches, all white churches. Good enough, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What did I want to talk to them about? You want to bring that, yeah, you want to bring that information to me also? Let me say something to you about that. Yeah. Henry, listen, on the program that night, the production we're calling it that night with Sister Jones and Marley, it's a big thing, a very big thing, because they have decided that they want some of the local groups to help pull it off, and it's very exciting. They have technicians working today, they have production people working today, and we've worked it out. But one thing they also wanted, four disc jockeys, and I would like very much, and I'm talking to you about it because we work the contract here, I'd like very much to have a disc jockey from KFAX. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Well, do I need to talk to them? Okay. I want one of the top ones over there, man. Okay. Right, exactly. You see, I think that's very important. And well, what they will do is they will help introduce the acts. You see? Because you see, Quincy and Marvin are going to bring up some surprise people, some of the big names with them. They haven't even told me who they're bringing up. So, you see, They want four disc jockeys, and I'm trying to select those persons that we feel strong with. Okay. In the meantime, I'm somewhat. Let me just say this. I'm having to do this with one or two other stations. I was talking to Graham's office this morning, and I haven't heard as much over KSFX that I want to hear. And so, we are thinking in terms of, I'm trying to talk in terms of the fact that I want to hear it much more over several stations, because I feel the influence of your station is very important. And I want to talk to you about that a little later on, after I talk to several of our people here, because, maybe we can find some way to get more time. Okay? All right. Okay. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. He said, yeah, he talked to the manager. And then when I get a chance, I'll talk to him about this, because I want people to trade off some time. Okay?
Yeah. I know Jed Stern.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So it's usually those religious bodies that are threatened most,
mm-hmm,
by what a group is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And you always begin to tell the influence that you have in the community by the people that you begin to bond. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure do.
And it's those that, again, who are somewhat in the same line of getting people as you are. That's one. Another thing is that they will try to get the people who are part of your body, your group.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just not the religious bodies of the group, but they'll try to get the people who may have left your ranks, or people who may be in your ranks, that they can try to get to. You know, it's a very deceiving thing seems to do. Well, I had them to do that to
me. Let me ask you a question. You say they. There's some specific agencies that you know have been on your case, as opposed to, you know, I mean.
Yeah. The Social Welfare Department.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's interesting.
A lot of our people are affected.
Uh-huh.
And because we have taken care of business in regards to some of those people.
Uh-huh.
And said we want to stop hassling people and then come back to us.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Bring that thing back in there for me, will you please? What? Don't worry. Okay. Jim, how you doing? Are you that bad off, man? Oh, shut up. You've got to be lying. Jim, well, I don't want to get into your problem. Let me tell you what problem I got right now. Now, look, Jim, I have bought time from KSO, KFAX, KJAZZ, KDIA, KRE, K101. I serve on the board of K101. Well, don't look, man. I don't want you to wait on Leora. Well, you know what? I just get 10 spots for $500 from you. Now, I'm on your board. Now, you're supposed to do better than that by me. Well, do that for me, man. I mean, like, you know, I mean... What? All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to keep my radio dial, the K101, which I'm a board member of, to see what you're doing. What? You going to start today, Jim? All right. Thank you, man. Get me on that lot now. Oh, well, I work on Barbara Little. All right, let me work on Barbara Littles, okay? I'll work on Barbara Littles and you work out my thing. Look, I want to put me on some, what do you call it, prime time?
Double A time,
man. AAA time. All right, baby, do it up for me. Right on. Okay, bye. He said he'd get us 40 times. No, I'm going up to the board of supervisors when I finish here. I'm going over there and talk to all the supervisors.
Welfare agencies.
Yeah.
This sounds like hometown, by the way, but go on.
Yeah. United Way, I've had problems with United Way. Not all of them, just United Way, the administrative level.
Do they put money in here?
No.
Sure.
No, but see, the problem is that a lot of groups that they get money from, those groups will come to me and say, they're going to cut us. So I go down there and take some people down there. Mm-hmm. And we sit and talk with them and say, this cannot happen. Don't cut those people. And especially those that relate to, you know, child care and some of the more vital programs. You know, they cut them. And so what I've been, and the next thing I know is that they're coming back on me, is the, about something. Or some of the people will say to them, we're going to talk to Cecil Williams about this, you see. And then they use every means they can to try to discredit what I do by trying to get to some of the people that come here, by saying something about the fact that I'm not really concerned about people, that I'm really just concerned about Cecil Williams, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? No, that's all right. So they use that kind of thing. One of the big issues has to do with how the business community responds. And the way they responded to me was just keep hands off. Until I began to work with some of the business men, you see. I'm now serving on, I just left a meeting early this morning at 8:30 where I was with, I'm a board member, board of directors of the convention bureau. And the convention bureau is a very strong group. Because 45% of the money that comes to San Francisco comes through the convention bureau, you see. So I have been able to work that relationship very well. These are the hotel owners and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I got a lot going with the hotel owners now that I didn't have before. But they used to keep hands off. They just stayed away from me, you see. And so, but that was the, so what I'm talking about, then finally the press does it to you. The press, always. Always. This, you remember this one. The press is going to always be looking at those groups that have numbers and money. You know, always. And they're going to try to find something if they possibly can. You know. And the more, of course, the more notorious person was Lester Kinsoff, you know. And you all kind of did him in. You know.
Well, we worked on it.
Yeah, you worked on it. But there are other press people who will try to pick up on anything they possibly can. If they pick up on anything, then they will try to discredit
you. Do you have any names, say, like that?
It's very difficult. Let me just say this. I can come up with names later on, but of people to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can come up. This is especially true of the print media. Chronicle and the Examiner.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Those two papers. And now that this whole kind of exposure thing is going on with the FBI, CIA, you see, they are concerned themselves about any group that they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm specifically talking about like your and our other groups.
Diversionary sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then, of course, what happens is, sooner or later, the Internal Revenue Service comes to freeze down the net. Now, I know that we found out, for instance, that we were on the FBI had, we've been investigated by them a number of times. They've had agents come to prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Sure.
You know. And that kind of thing. We knew two people that we felt were something guilty by Iraq.
Did you find that up by following these new freedom of information rules, you know, or did you, that's how you did it?
Mm-hmm. You mean just recently?
Yes.
Yeah. I have asked for my files to be open.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I made a request of the Justice Department and the FBI, and it's very interesting. Both of them wrote me back and said, can you specify
what you want?
You know, both groups.
Wonder of wonders.
Yeah.
Huh.
Very interesting. But the Internal Revenue Service came in 2 years ago and said that we had become too political, that they didn't believe us to be a church.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who investigated us, who was head of the investigating team, because they sent about six people, was a Southern Baptist, white man.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. From Arkansas.
On the farm.
And the first thing he does, he comes to me, because I want to talk with you first.
Yeah.
And he talks with me, you see. And the things that he was trying to get me on was, first of all, my political, the way that I work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, I can't pin anything down there. Because, you know, I said, well, you know, ministers, priests, rabbis, all kinds of people do the same thing, some of the things that I'm doing. So he said, no, but you made statements that let us know that this may not be a church. I said, why? He said, do you believe in God? And I said, I'm not going to answer it the way you want me to answer it. I said, I don't talk about what I believe in. I act that way. And that shook me. He said, I want to know, do you believe in God? I said, I don't have to say it. I do it. I show it. you see. And I said, you know, I'm trying to say to you as a Southern Baptist, that's all Southern Baptists do, is talk about what they believe in, and they don't act that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I was getting on it, and he got most uncomfortable, you see. And I just tore into him and ate him up. Then he came back. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I said, I don't need to say I believe. I act that way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I believe in visiting the prison. And those who are hungry. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man.
All stuff set with me.
Yeah, right.
So he leaves from here in a huff, very angry. So then they said, we want to check all things that you've ever printed. I had printed these. So they go downstairs into our storeroom and check all things. And they ran upon, for instance, some things that we had printed, like there would be a rally here, a political rally here, next week for, you know, whatever. And they took that, see. Because any time that you try to sway or influence legislation,
yes,
you see, that puts you in the category that they're looking for. And we've got a group of senior citizens here, old Americans here, about 500 or 600 of them, who are very political, because they go up, when Reagan was in office, they used to stay up there demonstrating all the time. But they also try to influence the bus fares here, their living conditions, you know, all those kind of things. So they're trying to enforce legislation.
Mm-hmm.
They found, and they go up to the senior citizen's office up there, and they take out material where they are calling for a demonstration against so-and-so and so-and-so because we got to make sure that we don't, that they don't put this kind of law on us, and we're going to change it up, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That senior citizen group is not directly connected with you, though, is it?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
So what was the loophole in? Because everything they didn't press, so why did they come
now, what is the situation? Are you litigating with them now?
Yeah, we're litigating with them.
You are litigating with them now.
We've been litigating with them for over 8 months now. And what we've done, our battery of lawyers, you see, sent an 80-page report. No, they sent an 80-page report to us. We sent back a 120-page report to them, to Washington. We're litigating with Washington. And
who's handling it for you, could I ask?
The Stark, Franklin Stark, over in Oakland. Stark, I don't know, it's a firm over there. But he's one of our lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have about 6 or 7 in the firm, and I think there are 3 of them working on that litigation.
They're actually challenging your
status as a
your state is a non-profit organization. They're going right to the center, but they're not fooling with the edges at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on the theory that you've devoted a substantial portion of your time and activities to influencing legislation.
Right. Much of the defense, at least, I don't know how many pages of the report, talked about me and what I have said about my theology.
You personally?
Me personally, about my theology.
Has there been any indication that they are trying to bring any kinds of charges against you personally?
Mm-mm.
There's no indication, no
leanings. Right now, they're trying to move us to a nonprofit status.
Nonprofit.
Yeah, but we feel like we really got that deal.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. I think the next step will be to try to get them.
That's what I was
going to
ask.
If they can't get us on that, then the next step will be to
do the IRS.
It may come in later, any kind of way. It will either be IRS, you know, or the FBI. Some of the same things that did with King.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I do know the director of the FBI, Clarence Kelly. He was police chief when I was in Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Yeah.
And he was a very, you know, I had a good relationship with him. So if he's a man, you know, he may, I know if he knows about what, this is why I wrote him personally, and I know that he's one of the best chiefs I've ever been around. No doubt about it. He had the best record. He had the best record of any police chief in America in regards to race relations.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, he had blacks. Long before blacks were at the top in the police department, he had blacks at the top in Kansas City.
Wow. Let me ask you this question, too. I know that there's all kinds of foundations and all sorts of procedures around relative technically, but Have you had any occasion to deal with the problem of how you handle funds that you may want to use for one purpose or another, but you don't want to maintain in your church structure?
Mm-hmm. Let me just say this. We've got the sharpest person in the world. He used to be vice president of California. Bank of America. No. What is it? California what?
Bank of California.
First California.
And he filed a suit against the banks because he said that they needed, they didn't have enough minority groups. He quit and filed a suit, and we won the suit. Yeah, we won the suit. And so that's why we have, in the banks now, a lot more representation of third world communities. He is the sharpest person. You need to sit down.
Right.
He can. He knows how to maneuver things.
Yeah, well, this is what we're looking for. You see, we're looking for somebody.
He knows how to maneuver things like nobody.
He's trying to check some of our ideas against
This is the man to check them with.
Yeah.
Because he can, you know, he can go right down the line and say, look, you're going to get in trouble here, you won't here, you won't here. This is the way to do it. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way to make sure that it doesn't come back on you, these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so delighted to have him because he makes my money so fluid, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
He makes it so fluid that it gives me a chance to operate in areas with all kinds of
situations. Enough said. Yeah, that'd be a useful thing. This is what we're looking for, somebody who understands this.
He knows it.
Mm-hmm.
He is just
because we talk to all kinds of people who don't understand it.
Yeah. Now,
we've talked to all kinds of people who don't.
He knows it.
Yeah.
You know, he'll tell you in a minute, this will get you in trouble, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Do it this way, do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young dude. He used to be, you know, really, you know, very so much caught up in that. He just said, I've had enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen what the banks are doing.
Mm-hmm. What's the guy's name?
Michael Phillips is.
Where are you arranging your meeting?
Let's see.
San Francisco, Valley?
Mm-hmm. See if you can find Michael Phillips. Yeah.
Is he a lawyer or is he an ex-banker or just what's his gig?
I think he's just an ex-banker, really.
Okay, so much the better.
I don't remember it, sir. I know he's not a lawyer.
I'm tired of talking to a lot of lawyers who basically don't know any more than we do. And pretend they do, you know, I mean, yeah.
Well, after he quit, our business manager was leaving. In some way, somehow he found out about it. He just came off.
Hmm.
And so we had about five or six other people that he was concerned with. But just listening to him talk, I knew that he was the man that we needed.
Does that relate to, your foundation management, or?
Sure. He does all the foundation management, all of the management of the funds, investments, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and see, we have an investing company. He can tell you about all of it. Comes with investments, which he disagrees with, and he goes up against him. And when we come to the board just we all just say to the board, look, let Mike determine how some investments how he does, and it's very interesting. He takes very large, very, very big risks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's paid off so far.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we need to talk to somebody like that. We really do.
Sure.
He's very good. He's very good.
So he's working for you now is what it is.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That's neat.
He's very good. And then he's got contact with such people as there's another person. He sits around with about four people who all relate to Governor Brown, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They all have great influence on Governor Brown. One is over in the Western Addition, who's at the Zen Center down there.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Roshi.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Roshi is the priest at the Zen Center. And he has the most incredible mind in regards to finances and things like that. So Mike and Baker Roshi and some of two or three others that just sit around and dream up schemes about money. You know, how you do things with money. It's amazing. And they're all very close to Governor Brown.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a credit union working with in here, do you?
Yeah. Well, our credit union is for the Total Methodist Church
of
this area.
I see.
So we have a credit union. We don't have a credit union here, but But we have a credit union for Methodists.
You've got access to the...
We have access to the one in Berkeley, yeah. For Methodists, mm-hmm. You see. And so we use that one, of course, for all of our people. We had wanted to do one of our own,
mm-hmm.
but the bishop said to me, he said, I wish you wouldn't. He said, let the people use the one if at all possible, please. And I said, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
One thing too that's like we're centralizing here in the security has presented itself that might be a problem in the future. Do you have a security force here? Or?
I sure do. I would move without a security force. Because, see, I get overt threats constantly. And I have about 25 people on my security, but I have three that are very close to me. Three persons very close to me. Those people deal with my personal security. And the others deal with the security of the building and the security of, you know, the events and whatever the case might be.
We got our share. Well, you know, we had a church burned down a while ago, so.
And some of these people are ex-prisoners. I found out something about ex-prisoners. They can smell almost anything that's going to happen.
Sure.
There was a man in here, two sons of God. And some of my people carried him. They just do. I'm saying that right here. Of course, most people know that they are. But they do, because they all have their legitimate things to carry them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you get permits from the local police?
Mm-hmm.
The local police.
Yeah, see, they have a security. First of all, my brother used to head a security. What do you call it?
Company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over in Oakland, mm-hmm. And I had security here for about 4 years prior to his coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, I asked him. I gave the whole security to him.
So what's happened?
So he brought several people with him.
Mm-hmm.
This is through their license through his security company?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. That's how you've done it, huh?
So what we do here at the church, we contract with his security company.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do with the chief, I just write the chief a letter. And if Moscone gets in, we ain't gonna have no problems at all. I tell you that now. I just write the chief a letter and say, for my building, these are the people who are on my security team, and specify that. I even, when I called him, and I said to him, sometimes, you know, I said, what I go through, which he knows, because you see, the police department has received calls before about the fact that I was going to be assassinated,
mm-hmm.
as well as, I think that would have been lying to me, but anyway, they came over, you know, like this. But they know that we have security. Because I've talked to the chief first, and I've written a letter. So that anything that happens in these facilities, also, at any given time, my security people can take care of it,
mm-hmm.
and have the sanction of the police department.
Sure.
So that's how you do it. So they don't actually have their permits directly from the police department as such.
They have
them indirectly through
the agency.
Those are his people, or are they people that you chose and he hired?
They were people that he chose.
Uh-huh.
He chooses all of them.
Mm-hmm. Your personal.
When you say your brother, do you mean the blood brother?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's what I took it to mean, but I was just...
I trust him.
you know what I'm saying? We throw that in there. Pastor Jones has had his share of threats, as you know, too,
yes,
and
sure.
we're darn concerned with the situation.
Okay. There you go, get more. You know, it's not the people who threaten me, it's those who don't threaten me. You know what I'm trying to say?
Don't you know?
Yeah. It's not. Okay, all right, thank you. He's not in today, but I'll tell him. Michael Phelps called him at 771-6300.
6300?
Yes. Tell him I told you to call. In the meantime, I'll mention it to him.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say this too, because I had not talked to... You know, our pastor.